Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to Saturday Night Shoggy. I'm Marion, I'll be your host for this episode, and with me tonight I also have my fellow co-host Sakaki and V-Lord. Say what's up.
What's up?
Yo, 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 in the house.
Okay, those are the samples to the voiceover, the announcers in Street Fighter VI. We're going back to our roots, and you know, the hip-hop theme that Street Fighter Third Strike had, we're going right into it.
God.
Anyway. I'm in a bit of a fighting game mood. I've been watching a lot of Punk, the Street Fighter player. Anyway, today we're gonna be talking about Solanine by Inio Asano. This how old is this? It came out in like what year, V-Lord? Give me the stats.
It came out in 2005.
Damn, that's old as fuck.
Well, we're reading Solanin and also the epilogue, and I know in the epilogue, like, Asano mentioned it was 11 years ago, so...
Yeah, so the manga ran for about a year in a Weekly Young Sunday, and then, yeah, the epilogue came out in October of 2017. Okay. It was, like, published for, I think, the Shinsoban edition that was coming out at the time, because, like, I guess they just decided to release the Shinsoban.
Oh, is that the omnibus?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the version that Viz released, right?
I think that's a different version.
Okay. Yeah, because
Okay.
No. I was going to say, yeah, because, I mean, as I've mentioned to you guys off mic, I bought this for my sisters and I never read it. I have no idea. I think at the time they were, like, really into, like, they wanted to make their own band. So one of the things in this manga is, you know, making a band.
Okay,
so,
Beck, eat your heart out.
So I bought it for them without reading it, and I definitely know it was before 2017. So,
yeah, the Viz release was 2008.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That sounds about right, because that's when they definitely would have been into making their own band. So,
damn. Fuck, I don't even remember what year I got mine. It had to be like after like 2013-ish. That's when I started collecting manga and anime.
It's one of those manga that I notice, like, no matter how, like, old it gets, I always see people buying it.
I mean, Asano is always that kind of author. Like, there's always going to be youths at a certain point in time where they have, like, tons of ennui, and they're all like, man, what the fuck? And they're like this, it's like an emo phase, but, like, you're in your 20s.
The directionless, and ennui is like the best word for that, yeah.
Yeah,
which is why, I mean, I'm gonna age myself so bad, but I'm 10 years too late to read this.
God, Sakaki, you're such a boomer.
I know, it's so bad.
Go read Downfall instead.
I mean, he mentioned it in the comments. Asano mentioned it in the comments, and now I'm just kind of like, damn, V-Lord's been actually kind of, like, not pushing me to read it, but just kind of mentioning it. So when he mentioned it in the epilogue, I was just like, oh, okay, maybe
damn.
I should read this.
And he was so right. Like, Solanin and Downfall are basically the polar opposites. It's kind of hilarious to think about.
I don't know what that means.
So, like, I mean, from what he said, I haven't read Downfall, of course, but, like, from what he said, it's like, Solanin, and it's just super depressing that he said this, but he was like, Solanin's about how the characters are slowly dying because their dreams have withered, while Downfall is about this guy that got everything he wanted, but is at, like, a deadlock in his life. So, like, Yeah, that's what he meant, but at least that's what he said in the commentary. I mean, I guess I should read Downfall at this point now. But, I mean, I know a little bit about it, because he mentioned it in, like, other interviews where it's like, I don't know if he said that it's not based on him, or if it is. And one of the reasons why he went on to do, I'm not going to try to say that whole title, but...
Dead Dead Demons DDD Destruction?
Yeah, one of the reasons why he went to do that afterward was kind of like, he wanted to do something, not mainstream, but something more upbeat. Well, yeah, and mainstream.
Yeah, need something totally different to refresh the palette.
I mean, that one's getting an anime, so it worked.
Oh, really? Damn.
I mean, it's interesting, too, because, like, you can definitely tell, like with Downfall, this seems to be somewhat related to his personal experience, because, like, he initially wrote this in his 20s, and, like, it definitely seems like he was concerned about, like, okay, can I continue doing manga as a career? And you can kind of feel those concerns about pursuing your passions in Soul in itself through the characters, like, trying to, like, figure out what they even want to do with their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this heavy sense of resignment in this, and I kind of like that, because it's, I mean, I guess because I'm just a big Shonen meathead, that it's always hope punk in those. Like, yeah, everything will work out if you just try harder. Which is great. I mean, not that that's a bad thing. Like, those are good kind of, you know, that's a good moral, yeah, too. But you're, I kind just of capitalist. Like, in... Oh my god! But I kind of like in this that it is just a thing where it's like, you know, yeah, you should look at the right now, and that, you know, maybe you're not going to be able to achieve everything, but there's something special about just what you have in front of you.
There's meaning in chasing what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's at least what I got from it. But, yeah, sorry, Vealer, what's up?
No, I was just going to say, out of curiosity, like, how much, like, experience do you guys have with, like, Asano's work outside of Solanin?
This is it.
I remember vaguely, I read, like, maybe a volume's worth of Poon Poon. I'm like, oh, that's not for me. I read, I think, snippets of Nijikahara Photograph, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get the gist.
Yeah, that's what, comes very interesting in certain ways.
I think that's all of what I read. I wanted to check out Dead Dead Demon because my friends... My homies from the Good Friends cast, they really enjoyed it, but never got around to it.
Yeah, like, same. Like, people know I'm not really really into depressing shit, so, like, I mean, people have recommended Poon Poon to me, but then
I have a relationship with Poon Poon where I just really hate it, because... Like, straight up, I can't stand it because...
I just like how blunt you are.
Man, I guess we can't have Ace on to talk about their lettering work in Poon Poon.
Oh, you definitely can. I just won't be on the episode. It's just, I mean,
V-Lord, I'm not going to read it either. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Oh, man.
I think I'll eventually read it. It's just, it's really hard for me to separate it with, like, when it was airing or when it was being serialized. It had, like, this cult following on Tumblr, of all places, and it's just like all of these like teenagers and like kids and like from their like 17 to like 20 something year olds that like they're like glorifying these like fucked up relationships because they're like, oh man, it's just like me for real, oh shit, and I'm just like, no, it's toxic. Relax. And I don't know, I hated that specific part of like the culture surrounding it. It was like a cult of personality that I was like, no, get this shit away from me.
That's actually, that's fair, because I feel like that's mostly, like, when I did look into it, so I know stuff that happens in it, I'm, like, not completely unaware.
Right. But
when I did look into it, it seems like that's a lot of what people got from it. And whether that's right...
Oh, it's so like fucked up and beautiful, bro.
Yeah, that's essentially the gist I got. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm 10 years too late for this, but I don't think I'll ever be old enough to really get into Poon Poon. So, like, but to answer V-Lord's question, this is, like, the only Asano thing I've ever read. And while I do want to check out Dead Demons. I mean, now that it's getting an anime, it'll be really way more accessible. Like, people have told me, like, they say, okay, yeah, you won't like Pun Pun, but you'll probably like Dead Demons. And like Marion, I just never got around to it. But now that it's getting an anime, I'll probably watch that.
Let me just say this. The reason I didn't like Pun Pun was because fans of Pun Pun are like fans of like Fight Club and Watchmen that like completely missed the point.
I get that.
Oh my god. Yeah, I have a weird relationship with Asano. Because, like, I've read, like, almost all of his, like, short volume series, like, the single and, like, two volume titles, besides, like, City of Light, I think. Okay. But I haven't read much of Pun Pun or DDD Destruction. But, like, I really love everything I've read of his. Like, even when it gets really effed up, like, in Nijigahara Holograph, where you literally start off with an assault scene. He still does, like, really interesting things in comics that, like, I haven't really seen done well in other places. Like, I recently read the manga that he did for Ura Sunday, Yushitachi, which is this, like, weird spin on, like, a group of heroes coming back from defeating a demon lord. And it just goes all kinds of effed up. Just on their way back from defeating this demon. Oh,
okay, yeah, I saw you talking about this one. I didn't realize that was Ura Sunday. Holy shit. Okay.
That's an interesting premise.
Yeah, it's super good. I think, Sakaki, you'd really like that one, too.
I mean, it sounds like a fucked up free run, so I'm okay with that.
But yeah, so, like, reading, like, Solanin felt, like, very much kind of, like, what I'd expect from Asano at this point. And considering, like, where this came, like, in his career, which was, like, what, 2005, it feels like kind of a natural evolution from, like, his debut series, What a Wonderful World, which was kind of just showing these daily, like, events of, like, characters and their struggles, and then how it all connects together into, like, one single community. And this felt like a more character-focused version of that, where it's kind of just focused on, like, one, like, aspect of that, like, just these group of, like, young adults, like, dealing with their lives.
Yeah, bro. You ever been laid off? Fucked up.
God. I've never have been laid off, actually, now that I think about it. I quit a job, and that was, like, nerve-wracking, but, like, I got a new job almost immediately afterwards. So
yeah, I've never been laid off either.
Yeah, fuck you guys, too. Just kidding. I also have not been laid off.
I mean, like, when I used to work retail, I nearly got fired, but, like, since then, I guess to put it this way, my job's never been in, like, peril. It's always been just kind of, like, it's cool. I've always went on to another job after, because I decided I wanted to leave.
That's what you love to hear. Good shit.
Except for that one job. That one I just quit because it was just toxic, but, yeah. I will say this much, and I know this is really kind of like a surface level thing, but I know that it's because it's at the beginning of Asano's, like, well, not the beginning, but, like, it's earlier on in his career. I was, like, kind of like, oh, this isn't the art I was expecting from him. Then when I read the epilogue, I was like, yeah, that this is it. This is what I was expecting.
Hashtag not my Asano. It needs to be more depressing looking.
Oh, God. What do you mean? There's plenty of photographs, backgrounds. Yeah.
There needs to be more. It was pretty vanilla compared to how many, like, realistic photos Asano uses now.
God, okay, yeah, clearly I do need to read more of his shit.
That was after he got a Canon DSLR. I'm kidding. I don't even know if he has one.
But yeah, it was just like, it's way more rounded, I guess, for lack of better words. I mean, it's not bad. It's just, I've not, outside the cover of Solanin, I've never, like, again, read it. Yeah. So when I saw his artwork in it, I was just kind of like, oh, this is, for a couple of times, I had to kind of check back. I'm like, this is Asano, right? And then, yeah, but the epilogue is definitely what I expected from his artwork.
Yeah, the couple of times I read Solanin, something that always stood out to me was just how the, like, this is like an Asano thing in general, I think, just the way he sets the scene with, like, where characters are and like how they're like positioned or angled within the shot. I always thought that was interesting because he does a good job of like getting into their headspace and like the emotional state of the character with regards to like how they're portrayed on the page. Like it's a way of characterizing people by like body language that I really dig.
Agreed. I think another thing I really like just how he panels everything is he uses this very good like use of just full black panels. Mm-hmm. Not only like just kind of detail out like exposition, but also to space out the visuals in a way that feels natural. Like it really feels like you're going scene to scene in a very like cohesive way, but it also helps to work as like a uncertain inner monologue.
Yeah, when you're going into someone's inner thoughts, it makes sense to like to set the I guess the tone for that with not looking at like a physical like setting or background.
But yeah, I think I get what you're saying. That it's like kind of like not a montage, maybe not that, but like yeah, I get what you guys are saying. That it's like it's very sequential. Mm-hmm. Like there's no sense like. They're focused on like each panel is like a little moment in and of itself, more so than like leading up to okay, this page is, I mean it is, but it's also kind of like I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Like the panels, they obviously make up a page, and you know they have that thought to continue to you know move the story along, but they also feel like little moments of themselves, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They kind of transition into themselves. Is what I wanted to
yeah.
say.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something that he uses a lot more like later on in like his future series as well. Like to bring up Downfall again. Downfall has a lot of those similar, page methodology. It's very similar to Sullivan.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Funny enough, I didn't realize until after I read it, I think, that Asian Kung Fu Generation made a song for the movie. And I was a fan of the band before that. And then I was like, oh, wait, hold on. And then, like, the wires connected. And I'm like, oh, wait, they have the same name.
Bleach Opening 7 intensifies.
God. So I decided to watch the live action movie, like years ago. I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago, and it was kind of long. At certain points, I was a little bored, but I think it was a pretty decent adaptation for the most part.
Yeah, I forgot that there was. I mean, I have the Asian Kung Fu Generation song, so that's like my only experience with Solanin before reading this. Mm-hmm. But like, and I mean, I was aware of the movie. I just never like watched it, but I love the song. So
yeah,
I would definitely be curious to watch the live action for this. Honestly, a lot of the live action titles for Asano's work seem like they're really well handled. Like the Girl on the Shore. Film that came out last year looked really good.
Clearly we need to have SNS at the movies.
One day, when they put Conan in theaters.
That's never gonna happen, you know that. Let's just watch Alice in Borderland on Netflix. Start there. Start
Hold on a second, that. You might have an idea.
I'd be down with it, though. But yeah, I mean, as far as this went, like, I didn't, I guess I knew and didn't know that, like Asian Kung Fu Generation, they didn't like write the lyrics of the song. Like when I saw the lyrics in the manga, I was just like, oh yeah, these are exactly the same. So they just took the song from this and added their own music to it. And I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty neat. Like I always just assumed that it was a song that, you know, they wrote themselves for the movie rather than performing one that was in the manga itself.
Yeah. That's why he's called Masafumi Goto.
True, he is the greatest of all time.
That's something that went in my pocket. God,
I mean, it hit kind of hard now. The song itself hit harder now that I like. I mean, I knew the lyrics, but like knowing that Asano wrote them.
Yeah, and honestly, like seeing the scene where it's like performed live, that shit was so good. I always get like, I don't know, like I have no issue with like reading like comics of like related to like music or like musical topics and stuff. But then when they get to be like performed or shown in like animation or live action, like I always think it's really cool just to see the vision and movement.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And I always like it when like they do like, you know, you'll have manga where the mangaka like writes lyrics or something.
Right.
And I always love it when rather than they just kind of make their own song and disregard those lyrics, I always love it when they use the manga's lyrics and make an actual song out of it. Like, I wish that was more of a thing they did more often.
Yeah, just like a full collaborative effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's our anime with Naoki Urasawa composed music?
Oh, God. Shit. You know, he go whip out some hillbilly shit. I fucking love it.
What the?
I just know it.
I mean, he does do music, so, like, I mean.
Naoki Urasawa ex Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, my God. I can't.
I know it in my heart.
Old Town Road, more like Old Town Yawara.
God.
All right, so my license Yawara, so we can make these guys happy.
License Yawara, cowards. You know you want to.
Oh, man.
That's one for the
SNS bingo.
Like, I mean, then again, well, no, that was me that said Comey's never getting an anime, and then, like, the next week.
You should say that more often.
Like, now, like, Golden Spiral getting an anime, now that's something I want to talk up, but it's only 3 chapters, so.
You can't even joke about that either, because Steelbar Run is going to get animated, too.
I mean, stop! That took me too long to figure out what you meant. I'm like, what does that have to do with? Oh my god, he didn't just.
I mean, honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing Dead Demon animated. I feel like Asano, for like, it makes sense that most of his works would get more like live action adaptations rather than animated, just because. It's simpler. Most of his works are like not like crazy supernatural, but like grounded, I think.
I think part of it too is like I'm not sure how much his works would benefit from animation.
I don't know, man. I feel like if he teamed up with this dude, fucking foot fetish guy, I forgot his name.
Fetish guy. Okay, just to clarify here.
Mr. Your Name?
Oh, shit. You said Mr. Your Name, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Makoto Shinkai.
Him. Oh, my God. If they team up, we could have another goat on our hands.
I mean, I guess, like, it'd be very difficult to take advantage of animation with Asano's works, just because it would have to be a really well animated show.
Hence my point.
Yeah, so if it was Shinkai, obviously it could be done. But I think otherwise, that's why it makes sense.
And Asano would give Shinkai the stuff, the bite that it needs.
Wait, what?
He said Asano, it would give Shinkai's, like, works the bite.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Bite, like, okay, yeah, so he's just saying, you know, Shinkai's kind of like boneless. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that, actually.
Some people like boneless, though.
I mean, yeah. I do too, but there's a time and place for everything.
I mean, you get the wings sometimes, like, have to, like, eat around the bone or, like, remove one of the bones. It's too much effort.
Stop it. I've been all day trying not to get BBQ chicken. I mean, they're closed now, so I can't, but.
You should have gotten it. Eat it vicariously for me.
So what you're saying is you would rather play Pokemon without critical hits.
That's not life at all.
That's not even comparable.
Yes, it is. It's the RNG.
That's the spice of life.
Literally. Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Oh, but all right. Going back to the manga itself, like,
But yeah, when the boyfriend died, like, I was kind of surprised because at first it may seem like he didn't. Because, like, okay, one thing too is the way that flashbacks work. I admit, like, maybe again being half asleep with a food coma when reading, although I did start waking up like midway through, but like being half asleep with a food coma while I was reading, I mean, sometimes I was like, okay, is this a flashback or is this happening now?
Yeah.
And I mean, I mean, I'm not saying that in like a way that it would detract it from the story. It was just like they're just so seamlessly happening that it was just like sometimes I kind of got like it was jarring a little bit.
It seemed like he was there for quite a while. You'd think that, right? Like, someone would, right? Have like tried to help him.
Yeah.
Nah, it's like Japan is like New York. They say if you see something, you say something. But if you see something, you don't say shit.
Like, it's funny because, like, when I was taking Japanese class in high school, like, we had like a teacher that was like there from Japan just to kind of step in, not really help, but just to kind of, because she wanted to learn how to teach English. And she basically made a comparison that Tokyo is the New York of Japan. So, and that's where this takes place. So when you say that,
I told you.
Yeah, I mean, a native speaker. That's what she said.
And I'm a New York native. Let's go.
All right. I wonder how she's doing now. But yeah, anyway, like, yeah, I was kind of surprised. And like, even the way that they revealed that he died was just kind of like really, it just slid under the radar. Because like, again, after the flashback, it seemed like, okay, maybe he's all right. And then like they go to the next chapter and everybody's again living their lives as usual. And then just like one of Mako's friends is just like, yeah, why did he have to die? I'm like, what? He did?
I'm the armored titan and Reiner's the...
I forgot the names.
You're not supposed to bring up Gedansha on
the Colossal Titan, Gedansha, the armored titan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that we're just completely throwing V-Lord off. Good. That's why this is what you get for making us record so late. We're just gonna
fuck with you. I sowed my own sins. I should have just stayed in my corner and read my Cobra issues.
You really should have. Then let us like live our lives, man. You ruined us. But yeah, like, okay, no, it was Mako herself who just like says at the end of one chapter, it was unfair of you to die.
Pass.
Yeah,
he was so young,
and I kind of liked him too.
Yeah, like the way that it's just treated so casually, I think it makes sense. I think tonally, even if it's might be a little hard to follow at first, I think on like a reread, it's probably like, oh, okay, I get it. Like it sinks a little better on a reread. I had to say, like the first time I read this, like years ago, when I was like digesting it and trying to like understand everything, I always thought it was like, I don't know what the word is. I was like a little upset that Mako didn't have like her own real like aspiration. Like she ended up taking her boyfriend's, right?
Yeah, she ended up playing.
But like she couldn't come up with anything on her own, and like, it took me a while to realize, like, you know what, like, that's not a bad thing or like a good thing. It's just something that happens, especially like now that years later, I've experienced like the passing away of a loved one and stuff, and the kind of like regrets that come with it. And I think it's a really realistic reaction for her to have, like, especially her being in like this time of her life. How we keep going back to this, but like, you know, you're in like your mid-20s, you're like struggling to like find what you want to do or whatever, and like you just gone through like this very tragic event, and you're trying to like process your grief, and what do you know, it maybe like the hobby of the person that you really loved, you start like dabbling in it, like getting into it, you realize that you actually enjoy it about as much as the other person did. So like, yeah, like it's a very reasonable reaction.
Yeah, and I mean, as the epilogue shows too, it's like she didn't stick with like music, and like she's still hopping around to other jobs, so still like trying to figure out what she's enjoying. So I think, I think part of, like, the message I got away from it's, like, it's okay not to know what you want to do, and, like, you never get too old to, like, explore the, like, fulfillment.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, if I'm gonna be real, the message is kind of like Berserk. Keep on struggling.
I mean, it kind of is.
I mean, like, I laugh, but just because it's such an apt comparison, even though on its face, it's like, what the fuck? But, like, I haven't read Berserk, let me put that out there. But from what I've heard, just from the outpouring of, like, you know, people talking about it after Miura's passing, like, yeah, it does really sound like
Gutsuke could probably play a mean bass.
I think he could. I think he could. Like, let's just get facts. Inferno up on, just like Inferno playing up in here, though. But, like,
with lyrics by Puck.
Oh my god.
Yes. But, like, I will say one part that really, I mean, speaking of the song that, like,
Oh man, now I'm thinking of Puck singing Chimmy Chimmy Choryu.
Stop! Stop!
What the heck?
Let me complete my thought.
Sorry.
No, I'm just like, if I keep thinking, I'm just gonna forget what I wanted to say. Just real quick, then we could just go around and just goofing around again. But, like, I will say that I like the one part about the Solonin song that I hadn't thought about again, because I hadn't read this, but that when Mako, like, discovers that, because the whole time she's thinking the lyrics for it, it sounds like a breakup song. And then she looks at it again, and she was just like, wait, maybe it's actually a song about saying goodbye to your past self. And,
yeah, I mean,
thinking that gets about a
step from me.
So, I mean, I actually listened to the song again, like, after I finished reading. And I'm like, yeah, I could see it that way. Because, you know, goodbye, it's all right. Be well wherever you are. I'll stay alive. Goodbye. Yeah, I will be okay. Like, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, Yu Yu Hakusho's second ending, which we've talked about in our, like, Discord chat, which is, like, it's the most chill breakup song ever, but what if it is about just kind of saying goodbye to your past
Sayonara,
self?
Sayonara, bye-bye. Please take care of yourself.
Exactly. Genki ni shite. Like, I'm not gonna lie, that's my favorite Yu Yu Hakusho song, but, like, yeah, I mean, lyrically and just song-wise, now that I think back on it, like, yeah, you could, I mean, it does sound more like two people saying goodbye to each other, but, like, you could read it as somebody saying, you know, I'm different now, and I like that, like, Solonin doesn't necessarily say, I'm better, it just says I'm different. And I think that, like, is the overall theme of this. You can always change.
Yeah.
You know.
That's good.
People aren't static.
It's like the opposite of Post Malone's Better Now song.
More like Post Baloney. Because you just posted cringe, brother.
I admit, like, I only got to really hear Post Malone when I was in Minnesota, and that's what you were playing in your car.
That's funny. And, like, to think he was featured on the Pokemon concert.
Oh, yeah, he was. Crazy. It's hilarious.
That's true. God.
Pokemon, another beloved Shaggy property.
Yeah, we need to do a Pokemon Adventures episode, clearly. I mean, it's come up twice in this episode. So, but yeah, I shouldn't say that. I mean, because I watch Todd in the Shadows of My Girlfriend, so I know of him from there, but I've never actually listened to any music until, like, you know, we were driving around Minnesota, driving around those icy roads playing, like, blasting Post Malone. That's the life.
I mean, we only skidded that one time while entering the highway.
Yeah, and, like, shaved at least 3 or 4 years off my life. So,
what a fucking mental image.
V-Lord drives like a demon, sends.
Yes,
help.
But that demon kept us alive.
I can't deny it, it's true. But you didn't drive fast enough to get to save the mango Pepsi.
I mean, I have mango Pepsi now, though. That's what matters.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm about to get on, like, what the fuck, Expedia, and we're about to...
Jesus Christ.
I think the later we record, the more unhinged we become.
Well, what I am sure about is V'Lor didn't drive fast enough to escape from his emotional trauma, which is also what Mako couldn't do. She had to process it.
I mean, yeah, she did. And honestly, I do enjoy that exploration. Like, I think, like you said, it was an interesting idea to have Mako kind of go into the role of being a band member in the place of Taneda. And I think, like, it kind of gives you a perspective, like, of what she admired about Taneda. Because, like, I feel like for a good chunk of the manga, too, Taneda just kind of seems like a deadbeat of sorts, to be honest.
Yeah, bro. He just wants to be lazy and have sex.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, that would be the life.
It is the life.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, so I kind of, like, in a way, having Mako go through that kind of made you like Taneda a bit more, beyond just him being, like, Mako's significant other and that being, like, emotionally important.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the scene with his dad, kind of, like, you know, like, he had that side of himself. We just never really got to see it until after he passed. Because, like, his dad was, like, yeah, he was talking about coming back home because, like, after Mako and he were kind of talking. I mean, she was just trying to, like, encourage him, but, like, and, I mean, I will say that I was kind of mixed on, like, how they treated that in the manga, where, like, she was just encouraging him to, like, yeah, if you want to do this, you should do it, and then later she's like, I added so much pressure to him, and he probably hates me and stuff, and I was like, no, you just did what a good girlfriend should do.
I feel like the only part where she really, like, overstepped her bounds was, like, during the music record deal signing thing, where, like, she decided for Taneda, like, no, we're not taking the deal.
Right, I mean, yeah, to explain it, it was just, like, the music...
How dare you make my boyfriend a sellout? Fuck you.
I mean, she's not wrong, but yeah, I will say that was kind of like, huh, that scene, but, like, yeah.
Hold on, babe, I can pay rent with this.
I mean, like, they bring it up later, like, too, though, like, with the... when she sees the band that would be backing the singer later on TV. And, like, it definitely makes me wonder, like, it's implied there, like, yeah, she kind of feels bad about that decision in a way. Like, maybe that could have been a better path. Maybe, like, that could have, like, saved Taneda in a way.
Yeah, I could definitely see it that way, too. But I also kind of get, like, I mean, I get why she did it, and I also, it's, I guess that's just, like, what shows the quality of the writing, which is that you can feel different things about it, but it's, like, it's from a place of, like, but I also understand why she did it, even if I don't necessarily like how that, the outcome was.
Exactly.
But, yeah, like,
It doesn't feel like anything was taken out of character. Like, yeah. All decisions were made because that's what the characters would have done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I like Taneda from, like, when his dad was like, yeah, he was thinking of coming back because, like, he wanted to, I mean, he did want to kind of, he was looking at the future and saying, you know, hey, I have to be more serious. But then, you know, he calls dad and said that, and then, like, he calls dad later, like, no, I found something in Tokyo that's really special to me. And, you know, his dad was like, yeah, that was you, obviously, Mako. So, yeah, so, like, he had that side of himself. We just didn't really get to see it before he passed away. But I also, as much as sometimes, like, having the data dump and the post, like, other characters speaking about this character could feel, like, kind of contrived, I feel like it worked out well just because his dad, like, they set up the background with his parents being kind of, like, his family being dysfunctional. So having his dad kind of, like, come in and talk about him, how, you know, yeah, I guess proud is the word. Like, how proud he is of him, despite having that dysfunctional background. I mean, at least for me, it worked really well.
Yeah, I think it helps that even though there are a lot of flashbacks in the second half, they thematically fit in with what's going on in the present. Which I think, in general, like, that's something Asano is really good at when he does flashbacks. Like, it never feels like you're just getting it just for the sole sake of, like, exposition. He's just goated like that.
I will say, too, that, like, I liked that, like Mako and I guess his name's Rip. I want to make sure I have the right guy. But like, I like that they don't cry over Taneda's death until like way, like at least we don't see it until like way late in. And I don't know why that just hit me like particularly. Like, there wasn't a bunch of weeping about it. Like, they talked about it and they worked out their feelings, like, you know, hey, you know, it's you know, sad that he's gone. But, like, I know the exact conversation was basically Rip kind of, like, every day he's, like, how the fuck could that guy die in such a pathetic way? And then, like, and at first you think he's going into, like, kind of bashing him, but then he's like, but then I start crying after I start thinking of him. And then they both just are, like, sobbing about it. And I don't know. Like, that hit me in a way that it wouldn't have if, like, if they had spent, like, a chapter before that just kind of mourning his death.
Yeah, also Rip is such a great name for a character.
Especially the origin for his name. He ripped his pants, like, in elementary school or whatever. And I like that his line is like, I'm still being defined by that now in my 20s.
Can't believe he peaked.
He was too powerful back then.
That rip in his pants, it just...
It's crazy how they turned a valley into a peak.
Oh my god. They transcended time itself. But like, yeah. Like, because it's so true. Like, something you did as like a kid, like in your like 20s and 30s, people are still talking about like, bro, we were past that. No, we're not. But,
sorry, I was listening to the song.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. It's a really good song. Like, Asian Kung Fu Generation is always good, but, like...
Truly.
That was actually a really good tie-in.
My goats! God.
So, and then, like, the... So, how do we feel about the epilogue?
I like the epilogue.
I don't remember it. It's been 5 years.
I was, like... I admit that at first I was just like, oh, are we gonna... I was a little disappointed that it wasn't what I thought it would be, which is like, oh, they're gonna have a new couple in the apartment, we're gonna explore them, but then it's like, it's kind of a fake out, which I kind of wanted that to be what it was, but I was happy to see Mako again.
See, that's though. What I thought going into it, that like, it was just focused on that new couple, but like, in the end, I was kind of glad that, yeah, we saw Mako again, and like, we saw, like, what the characters have been up to. And, like, because I feel like, yeah, Solonin had enough closure, but, like, this feels like just kind of like a little cherry on top.
Victory lap.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the term I was going to use. Yeah, it felt like a victory lap, and it felt like a very much deserved one. Like, everybody's moved on. They're still doing pretty well. And it's just kind of like checking in on your buddies, you know, to make sure they're doing all right.
Yeah. And, like, I'm glad that it's not just a very convenient, happy ending either. It's like, because they still have issues. It's just, like, they've matured about it. And it feels like a nice reflection of, like, Asano himself at this point. Like, it feels like he's matured alongside his own work.
Yeah. Honestly, the epilogue was, like, the Love Live! School Idol movie.
What happens in that movie, Marion? Give us a summary.
It's just a victory lap for the girls. They go to America and tour, but like, it's just a one final performance, get the gang together, you know?
Sounds like a good time. I wonder what would happen if someone tried reading Solonin and then Downfall back to back.
I don't know, Milord, why don't you tell us?
I mean, I have it on my Viz account, could do it.
You should have did it before the show instead of going to see Marvel.
Hey, Lord, what a fucking misleading question.
I've read Downfall already, though. I read it when it came out, though, so it's been a while.
Okay, see? That does us absolutely no good. Now you have to read Downfall right now and comment on it.
I mean, no, Downfall is just all kinds of depressing.
For those of you listening, you can tune in on June 27th at 9 p.m. We'll be doing a live reading on twitch.tv/vlordgtz.
God.
Don't tell anyone else, though. We have to work with Viz to get the permission. God. Oh, no. I don't even know if it's Viz. Okay.
Viz is the one that sent it to me, even, because I reviewed it.
Oh, okay. Wait, is Downfall Shoggy?
Yeah, of course it's Shoggy.
Well, I mean, didn't, like, Asano do a few things that aren't? like Holograph isn't Shoggy, is it?
Oh yeah, it's not that Holograph's not Shoggy, but Downfall is Shoggy.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he did a few. I mean, I know he's been primarily in Shogakukan, but like he's done things outside of it too. He's like the he's kind of like the Urasawa, I guess.
Yeah, except his non-Shoggy stuff gets licensed on like Urasawa. But yeah, Downfall was a big comic superior.
I mean, I do remember reading an interview after he finished Punpun, like where he was just really kind of talking up like Shogakukan's seinen magazines, and that they're like the standard in Japan. So, like, he was more or less saying, you know, he's really fortunate that he's running in like big comic, because like as far as I mean, like Jump is obviously Shueisha is known for Jump. What the fuck is Kodansha known for? Like everything, I guess. The days,
the open magazines, farm. I guess.
Okay, yeah, we'll go with that. And then Shogakukan is known for just like big comic is like a household name, so which makes sense because like as our good friend Maxie once said, and I'll never forget this, and I love this line that they were just kind of like. Shonen Sunday is like their hobby, so that's why they don't seem very concerned with like they just let shit run in it because they're like whatever if it sells that's just a bonus. But like the bread and butter.
I just thought of a.
Yeah, like, I don't know why what we ended up. I mean, Maxie and I are always talking about Shonen Sunday, like. We go on other shows. We were on Manga Mavericks like a week ago.
I overslept by an hour and you guys still hadn't gotten to actually talking about the topic because you guys were talking about Shoggy.
Exactly. See? I mean, we just need to have Maxie on here at some point. And so then we can just derail. We could be on topic rather than derailing all of these other lesser shows. No, I'm kidding. But yeah.
Yeah, Shonen Sunday is the animal TikTok.
Oh my god.
Of Shueisha.
I mean, that's not wrong. I guess so. With all the crossover.
Wow, look at this fucked up hairball my cat threw up.
It's not wrong with all the advertisements they've had, like, Call of the Night and Free Run on, like, TikTok. So, god. And Comey, like,
But yeah, definitely, like, I do remember really, that's what made me want to read, like, besides the recommendations for Dead Demons, like, because, like, I mean, I know that, well, I won't take too much credit for it, but I know a lot of the reason why we're even doing SNS is because of my, like, fervent interest in Shonen Sunday, but I've never really gotten to the seinen side of things, so... To hear him really just praise big comic was just like, I mean, I know V-Lord does. We don't listen.
Yeah,
to
no V-Lord. One likes V-Lord. V-Lord goes to the corner.
But no, like to hear him praise big comic like that and just talk about it being like the standard. I'm like, damn, okay, maybe Shogakukan is, you know, maybe there's more to it than just like Shonen Sunday. And again, it just really explains why with Shonen Sunday, they just allow anything to run in it. It reminds me of like it was Journal of My Father that they like, I forgot the artist's name. I feel really terrible
Jiro
about
Taniguchi?
That. Yeah. Jiro Taniguchi.
Damn. Even yeah. I wasn't even there for the episode.
Thank you. Like, yeah, that even he was just like, they told him, you know, draw whatever you want. Don't worry about it selling. Like, that just really does seem like to be the Shoggy way of things.
Yeah. You know what that means? Just write something, Sakaki.
I honestly. But the Shonen Sunday Twitter blocked me, so even if I wrote something.
They won't know it was you.
That's they true. Won't know. I mean, that's true. Both of you are right. They wouldn't know it's me, and like every other. Editorial department hasn't blocked me, which is really weird, but okay.
Screw Sunday, it's time to play with the big boys.
Like, the head editor of Ura Sunday actually, like, quote tweeted WSS-TV and was like, these guys are cool, and then he followed us.
Read Wild Shonen Sunday, this guy's bad. Block him. Forever.
The views I post do not reflect the views of the company I'm associated with.
It's because of Yashahime, that's what I'm going with.
I love how, like, it literally opens, like, color page, like, crossing over Zettai Karin Children with Yashahime. And I'm just like, wow, we're never getting Zettai Karin Children, but here it is.
Yeah, that's the closest you're gonna get. And so when people are like, what the fuck is this? Well, the anime got brought over.
Yeah, but who watched the anime? Let's be honest here.
I don't know. Why don't you ask Sentai?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, with a name like Psychic Squad, maybe people just didn't know. But
legit, I didn't know it was licensed until like I saw it randomly on Sentai's website.
What a funny ass localization name.
I mean, like, I get it that Zettai Karin Children really doesn't sound good, no matter how you try to spin it.
I think it sounds better than Psychic Squad.
I mean, yes, but, like, I mean, absolutely lovely children is what it literally means, so. And I'm like, yeah, I can't.
I would watch that too.
I can't think of a way to spin that wouldn't sound just very creepy at best.
The Fabulous Children? So, I don't know.
I don't know either, but like this just begs the question of why we didn't get Ghost Sweeper Mikami then. Like, come on. At all. Like, I don't think the anime's even been licensed for that.
There was a home video release of it, I believe.
Really? Okay, I need to get on that shit, man.
Clearly the solution was to have Sheena make his own English title. Like Attack on Titan or whatever, fuck. Like, anything, as long as it's not like a dance of Aromantlers or whatever, blade dance
or
whatever.
Oh god.
Also, yeah, Ghost Sweeper Mikami's anime got released by Sentai.
Okay, do you need to put that back and shit back in print? Because I mean, I'm late because I only got into Shaggy like recently. Well, 2013 recently, but like
9 years ago.
It's been that. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah, like I will watch that. I've wanted to watch it, but like now that I'm like more versed in like Takashi Shina, but like, of course, finding it and the manga not being licensed at all, which. I mean, he really deserves. He and Fujita are like, it's really.
We just got a petition, Discotech.
That was all the anime issue, but not the manga issue.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the manga, just buy that shit on Kindle.
In Japanese. I should at this point just buy Ghost Sweeper Mikami at least. Like, Zettai Karin Children is never gonna happen just because it's like 64 fucking volumes. But
even Ghost Sweeper is like pretty long. It's 39 volumes.
Sheena, why?
He likes some thick man. Extra thick.
I mean, well, at least maybe Yashahime won't be that long. So I mean, like, the world's moved on at this point. We're all waiting for the new Urusei Yatsura anime, so.
Soon we'll be saying Free Sheena instead of Free Arai.
You say that, but then Yashahime will have, like, same universe tie-in to Mao, or whatever.
Yashahime GT.
Stop. That's what Yashahime's Inuyasha GT. You can't do that. Okay, so since we're clearly very off topic.
Yeah, let's wrap up here, guys.
Okay.
Yo. Solanin. It's good. Go read it.
Very good.
Yeah, if you haven't already, I'm assuming most of our audience has probably read it.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't, it's like, I guess it's the, I hate to put it this way, but it's like the gateway drug, Asano.
True.
Like I from just hearing things from V-Lord and other people, it seems like
the sound wave I made looks like DR.
What?
Sorry.
I just caught it. Never mind.
Sorry.
But yeah, no, it seems like the other stuff has a really high wall of accessibility, like other Asano stuff. So
yeah, I'd agree. Like I love like Girl on the Shore, and even Nijigahara Holograph is like insane to read, but they aren't like easily readable works unless you're really like your depressed and messy type of fiction.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's this or Dead Demons. Those are your choices, unless you're just fucked up. Then
yeah.
The world is your oyster.
If you're like V-Lord, you'll like it all, though.
Yeah.
Omnivorous V-Lord.
Don't be V-Lord. Don't have a fun night by reading Blood on the Tracks.
Don't be V-Lord. Don't buy 10,000 mangas and only read 2,000.
It's 2,500, thank you very much.
Jeez, sorry.
I've been in the manga cave. I can't confirm.
Oh man, I want to be there. I want to be at the manga cave.
So we're gonna just have VLumcon sometime soon.
Yeah, let's do it. Go fund me to get Marion to VLumcon.
Yes, let's go. But anyway, where can... Oh, I'm just taking over all of the...
All hail our new host.
I don't want to do that, actually, no. I will never host. Just like Mary will never edit, I will never host.
So true.
But, okay, I guess...
I'm going to be like the serial guy. He'll never edit. And then... spits it out.
Where do people want to find us, or where can people find us if they want to?
Good question, Sakaki. People can find you at
no, don't. I can't. No. I'll say where people can find me. Please don't make me remember. It is midnight. I can't. Not tonight.
That's my favorite meme on the show.
People can find me at Kirobon, KIIROBON on Twitter. And yeah, there's nothing really to talk about there. But the real fun is at WSS Talkback on Twitter, where we are the... There are lots of magazine Twitters out there, but we're the one that goes through the entire magazine every week from cover to cover. So I'm not trying to throw any shade on anybody, but I am actually. There's also WSS Talkback.blogspot.com where that hasn't been updated in a while. I'm so sorry. But we have reviews, interviews, interview translations and stuff like that. And if anybody is interested in writing about Shonen Sunday, by all means, come and write. It doesn't have to be about a currently running series. Oh, I said Shonen Sunday, but basically anything Shogakukan. Like, if you've read Pun Pun and want to write about it, by all means, hit us up.
Yeah, and suffer through my editing.
I've also write for Toonami Faithful, even though I haven't done that in a while. I feel terrible about that. CJ, if you're ever listening to this, I'm so sorry.
Forgive us, CJ, for we have sinned.
And I'm on a podcast with our good buddy Colton at Another DB Pod on Twitter. Another Day, Another Adventure, where if it's animated and has Goku in it, we're probably going to talk about it at some point. And it's been a lot of fun, so please give that a listen. And yeah, that's about it for me.
Nice. Where can people find you, VLord?
Yeah, people can find me on Twitter at VLordGDZ. And then I do various things for all-comer.com, as well as ShinamiFaithful.com. So you can check out my writing over there. And then I do a bunch of podcasts. The main one being the Demon Slayer podcast with these two fine folks at D-Slayer Podcast.
You say this, but how long has it been since we've all been on it?
That's a good point, actually. We need to change that sometime.
You really do.
We need to. Me and Sakaki got to talk about the anime.
Yeah, we haven't like at all.
You got your anime crew, but we gotta invade.
Yeah,
we do.
One of these days.
It's like, how can we brag about being, you know, New York Times like approved, and we've not been on it in like a year?
Oh, just do it anyway.
Yeah, you already have the clout. It's fine. Mission accomplished. Okay.
Should know. I did it.
Anyways, you can also find me over at the Dumb Weebs podcast at Dumb Weebs Pod, and then Oversoul Shaman King podcast at Shaman King Pod, and then I occasionally pop up on the Toonami Faithful podcast at Toonami Podcast.
Nice. Well, people can find me on Twitter at Microwavy, the E before the V. I don't tweet that much anymore, but I've been known to update people here and there sometimes. Shit that I do. I also write for Toonami Faithful at ToonamiFaithful.com. It's been a minute. I write reviews and editorials for them. I also write reviews and editorials for the Weekly Shonen Sunday blog at wsstalkback.blogspot.com. And I have reviews on my personal blog, which is heavensdoorknob.wordpress.com. Besides that, I'm also on DSP, Demon Slayer Podcast. I'm also on Shaman King Podcast. Sometimes I'll guest on My Hero Academia Podcast. And yeah, you can find this podcast, Saturday Night Shoggy, anywhere that podcasts are found, on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever, you name it, we're there. Remember to leave a like and a rating, whatever, comment, give us feedback. We have an email. I think it's like, is it like snspodcast@gmail.com or something?
It's satnightshoggy@gmail.com.
Same shit. Whatever. It's late, bro. It's like midnight. But thank you for listening. This is a funny ass recording, dude. I think like half of the episode was like just tangent.
I feel that's like par for the course for us, though.
Yeah, like that's why people listen to us. They don't listen to us for whatever the title of the episode is. They listen to us because they like us.
Or at least hopefully they do.
Yeah, why don't you leave a comment and let us know?
Exactly. Yeah, solve this for us and just let us know by that. I mean, and if you are some kind of sadist or masochist, whatever the fuck it is, that you just listen to us because you hate us, thank you. Thank you. I said it today to my sister, like, if you're living life with no haters, then you're doing life wrong.
True. Haters make me famous.
And true G's know who their haters are. Anyway, I don't know how that came up during conversation during Mother's Day, but yes, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, it wouldn't be Saturday Night Shoggy if we don't honor the mother of all manga, Rumiko Takahashi.
True.
Sorry, that's actually Ryoko Ikeda. But
wow, okay. Well, I mean, I don't disagree though.
Yeah, before my friend shoots me in the leg. Have a good night, everyone.